Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on a Friday, another snowy Friday. I hope you got that coffee ready this morning. We do, from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate those guys keeping us warm and fueled up. It has been a better snow, but it was a lot of it, I got to tell you. I hope everybody's safe out there, making their way back in. Last round for a little while, and maybe we can get it melted this weekend. We got to snuggle up and watch a great CFP semifinal last night between Notre Dame and Penn State. All those 12-team college football playoff haters, are you not entertained? As we have record bowl game viewing numbers and a fantastic conference CFP semi. We wouldn't have even had any games before that one in other years. So we'll get into that here. We're going to pick the other one and the rest of the NFL playoff games coming up a little later. We might do a bonus game because there are six NFL games. So maybe we'll do seven this week. We'll do the other CFP game and the other NFL game. So we'll have some fun with that as well. We've got all kinds of fun for you. Brandon Zenner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage will join us for those picks in the second hour. We'll get you ready for a college basketball weekend as well. All caught up on the rest of the sports world. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Man, how much fun was that game last night? I know we're going to get into it a ton, but it was incredible. And I kept telling myself, man, I got to go to bed. I got to go to sleep. You know, I got to do. But I mean, stayed up till the end. It was fantastic. And that's what college football is all about. It, you know, harken back to the old days of college football with programs like Penn State and Notre Dame. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. It was a good game. It was an entertaining game. You had like two different type halves to look at. You had, you know, just excruciating mistakes made for the drama of it. You have storylines continuing with James Franklin, who I think is now something like 1-15 versus top five teams all time in the AP top five. So that was a tough loss for Penn State. I feel bad for him, but it's pretty hard not to root for Marcus Freeman, even if you're not a Notre Dame fan. He's an easy dude to root for. And for, you know, for the diehard Notre Dame fans, it's been a long time since you've been back. And for the, you know, the people that have an affinity for the program, probably more like me, grew up a big Notre Dame fan, certainly don't follow it nearly like I used to. it's good to see him back there. That'll be a fun, either way it goes, it'll be a fun national championship game between Notre Dame and either Ohio State or Texas, and Notre Dame will likely be an underdog to either Ohio State or Texas. If I had to guess, that game tonight could be very different than the game we saw last night, which was more about the defense, more about ball control, moving it around. I think we're going to see more fireworks tonight, Tommy, in the Ohio State-Texas game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of the difference between the styles of the teams that are playing, teams that played last night and the teams that are playing tonight. You're probably going to see a different brand of ball. But the thing about, you know, the Penn State-Notre Dame game, you really saw both quarterbacks, I think, you know, try to put their teams on their shoulders and carry them to victory. And Riley Leonard, you know, there was some question about whether or not he'd be able to play the second half, kind of banged up and that sort of thing, and he did. Jeremiah Love didn't get a ton of action, but, man, the touchdown run that he had in the second half where he would probably broke four or five tackles to get into the end zone, that was phenomenal. I'll tell you what, that last probably 4 or 5 minutes of the game – when it's tied up and they're going back and forth and the defenses had kind of been suspect in the second half, man, they locked down and you saw the teams trading possessions and it came down to a field goal for Notre Dame. I'll tell you what, you mentioned it at the very top of the show. Anybody that had been critical of the 12-team CFP, you can't be critical now because we saw two of the top four teams play last night without question, and they delivered a phenomenal football game. And I don't know if Ohio State and Texas will top the drama that we saw last night, but at least we've got, I feel like, a great representation of the top teams in America playing, and they're going to be able to play for a national championship next week.
And the ultimate winner, I'll keep reminding people till I'm blue in the face, the ultimate winner would not have been there in the old format. And the old and the heavy, we'll call it a heavy, it's not that heavy, but the favorite tonight in the game also would not have been there in the old format. We could very easily, in year one of this new CFP, have two teams in that would not have been invited to the dance in years past. And the crux of the debate for me has always been, you can't tell me with so few teams we are finding the best team with, you know, you can't definitively tell me that every year. People say, oh, the best teams always just end up there anyway. No, they don't. The team that maybe the team that didn't stumble in the regular season or played in the right conference or whatever. Yeah, maybe they make it in, but you can't guarantee me the best team never makes it in because the best teams might lose games in the regular season. Like it was just like we don't treat anything else like it. It's so silly, right, to think about it that way. And now you've potentially got two teams in there, at least one, who wouldn't have ever even had the chance to get there. Like, for anybody that still wants to defend it, you had a Power 5 team last year that went undefeated through the season and didn't make it in because their quarterback got hurt. What? Like, just remember that. Like, that's the crap we've been dealing with for our entire college football existence. Having that debate. Should Florida State be penalized because their quarterback got hurt? Well, I know he got hurt and they've won all their games since he's been hurt, but I mean, we just don't think they're as good. Like that's the kind of stuff we would spend the early part of January and late December debating about college football. And we'd be told, oh, the debate's healthy. You're talking about it. Yeah, you're right. We are talking about it because it's absolutely ridiculous and stupid. And we've deserved this. And these teams have deserved this. And these players have deserved this. And Notre Dame, who had a bad day against Northern Illinois, has played their way back through and back into it. And they've earned it, which is what sports in America are all about. This is better. No question.
The only thing that I was concerned about going into these semifinal games was that they would be blowouts one way or the other. I didn't think that they would be because I felt like the level of competition was fairly even in both of these matchups. But I was concerned about what we saw in the first round and then what we saw in the second round outside of the Texas-Arizona State game rolling over into the semis and having blowout games. And lending more credibility to all of the 12-team CFP haters this year about how it's not a good system. And we didn't see that last night. And I would suspect we don't see that again tonight. I don't think we're going to see Texas is not going to blow out Ohio State. Could Ohio State blow out Texas? Maybe, but doubtful. So I think we're going to see a pretty evenly matched game on both sides tonight, too. And really, let's be real. Like, this 12-team playoff system, could we see, like, one of the very lowest seeds? Could we see a 12-seed or an 11-seed play for a national championship? I guess maybe, but probably not. This was a way to get the four best teams into the semifinal round, a better way to do that. And sure. I think we've done that. I think the goal has been accomplished. Like, check that box. Yeah. I think we're there and this year, despite all the blowouts.
There will be a year where that happens, because you'll have a year where an at-large is a team like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But you mentioned those blowouts, Tommy. Since 2018, I'm going to give you the final scores of the national championship games. 44-16, 42-25, 52-24, 33-18, 65-7, and 34-13. Let that marinate, and we'll dig into that, because that has been a topic. But I think it's one we're missing the mark on, because it's college football. We'll come back. We'll discuss it. We got a lot of things to do today at Sports Daily on a Friday. Don't go away.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking a little college football. We're trying to stay warm here with the rest of you. Tommy, you're styling on a Friday now here on Sports Daily. Staying warm, whatever you need, you got it.
Yeah, trying to. It's our Friday Fits, the segment of the show brought to you by 3570golfcompany.com. They are a local golf brand, and I know that it doesn't really feel like golf weather outside, but you can always look the part of wearing all these great Midwest-themed golf clothes, and I'm wearing the Amber Waves golf polo today under my quarter zip. It's awesome. The quality is phenomenal. It's got little images of grain, the amber waves of grain. And so it definitely harkens back to our Midwest roots and all of that. But then, they put a lot of care into everything. My friends, Dan and Katie Winters, they've got the 3570 Golf Company. And so I want to thank them for sponsoring the program. You can check out the entire lineup, the entire collection of all of their golf clothing. They've got polos, they've got hoodies, they've got golf head covers, a bunch of other stuff, hats. You can check it out at 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy, get 10% off.
We enjoyed meeting them out at the Wichita Open. Glad they're a part of it, and glad they've got Tommy hooked up with all of his favorite things. It's giddy on Fridays. There's a little twinkle in his eye.
I love it.
Because they got cool stuff. So check it out. Get that discount with the promo code Tommy there. All right. Tommy, you mentioned this, and this has come up a lot. And I get it. And I've even fallen into the trap a little bit of, well, these CFP games, we're going to, there's such a propensity for a blowout. And I fell into it too, because nobody likes to see that. But then I started to wonder just a little bit, like, I wonder what the average margin of victory, because I think what we do is we expect college football at this point of the year, like in the playoff, to be like it is in the NFL. And I'm not sure it ever is, right? We know, because we pick the games, or if you bet the games, the margins are wider. It's not uncommon to see 14, 20-point spreads in college football, where it's almost a non-factor, and it never happens, it seems like, in the NFL. Okay, well, we think about that, and then I go back and I look, because this happens to me every year with college football national championship. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't a very good game. Like, when we first started it, we had a great run of 3 years. The first year of the CFP. Now, this doesn't even go back to the national championship. I'm only talking CFP here, since they've changed it to that. You go back to 2014, right? So you've had four teams in since 2014. The first year of it, Ohio State blew out Oregon by 22 points. The next 3 years, which two of them were Clemson, Alabama, were those really good classic games. Then you had Alabama and Georgia go to overtime. So that took you to 2017. And then since then, in 2018, Clemson beat Alabama 44-16. In 2019, LSU beat Clemson 42-25. In 2020, Bama beat Ohio State 52-24. Georgia in 2021 beat Alabama 33-18. Of course, Big 12 fans want to forget 2022 when Georgia beat TCU 65-7. And then last year, Michigan stomped Washington 34-13. These games are almost never close, right? They're just not. So what? So like we should just not watch college football because the championship game might not be close? Like it usually isn't close. And I don't think that means really much at all. In all of those games we mentioned, I would say half of the time, it was the number one seed doing the blowing out. But in one of those years, it was the four seed, right? In another year, three of those years, it was not a one or a two seed that blew the other team out. So what does that tell you? Well, if you go back before the CFP, those teams that blew them out would not have made the national championship game, right? So, like, I just don't think if we really think about what college football is, I don't think we should be that surprised by a blowout. And I also think we've got to be real with who is the most likely team this year, Tommy? If a team's going to steamroll through these next two games, who is the team it's most likely to be?
Ohio State.
Would they have even been in this format?
Absolutely not. Not a chance.
It's not really a problem that Ohio State might blow everybody out. They wouldn't have even made the tournament before this year. So I don't think I do have a problem when I really think about it with the blowouts because they were happening anyway, right? Like the fact that they were happening, they already were happening, and they happen in bowl games all the time. They happen in college football all the time. It's not the NFL where every game is razor-thin margins. It's college football where blowouts happen all the time.
Let's look ahead then. I mean, we know one team that will be in the national championship game. That's Notre Dame. Whether it's Ohio State or Texas, do we think that either one of those teams will blow out Notre Dame or vice versa?
I think Ohio State could. I think Ohio State could, as much as I don't want to admit it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they will. I don't think they will. I mean, what I've seen from Notre Dame, they could, but I don't think they will. I don't think either one of the teams that will play tonight will blow out Notre Dame. I certainly don't think Notre Dame will blow out either one of those teams. I think we're going to be in for probably the closest national championship game that we've seen in the last few years, regardless if it's Ohio State or Texas. I really do believe that. And that's on the shoulders of Notre Dame's defense. Marcus Freeman has gotten Notre Dame's defense playing really, really well. And outside of a stretch in the fourth quarter last night, Notre Dame's defense was pretty stifling against Penn State. Do you realize? And this is, I think, due to a couple of different factors. Number one being just the inability of James Franklin to work the portal. Do you realize that Drew Aller had zero completions to wide receivers last night?
Yeah.
And I know he worked his tight end. His tight end is like the main pass catcher on that team. But I think it's also a little bit of credit is due to the Notre Dame defense for shutting that down for sure. I mean, they had some crucial interceptions off of Aller, especially one extremely late in the game that ultimately led to the win for Notre Dame. I think that regardless, if we're talking about Ohio State and Texas, do I think Notre Dame will win the national championship? I don't know. I'm not ready to make that prediction quite yet, but I certainly don't think we're looking at a blowout.
The history tells me that it's usually the great juggernaut type offenses that really thrive once you get there. I hope that a great defense and a great run game and all these things, and Notre Dame doesn't go portaling either. I think they had only 13 players from the portal on their team, just as an aside, which is wild to think about. But I think typically in college football, the juggernaut offenses, here's why I think Ohio State could give them real fits, is because Ohio State is really good on offense, but they're also really good on defense. So if Notre Dame doesn't score a ton of points typically anyway, are they going to score a ton of points all of a sudden in Ohio State? I think that's unlikely. And I think Ohio State's offense is always capable of putting on a big show because they have the best skill players in the country. And they have Will Howard, who can get the skill players the ball very well. I really hope Texas beats Ohio State for a lot of reasons, but one of them is I think it'll give us a much, much better national championship.
You're going against
game.
Your boy, Will Howard?
I don't like Ohio State, and that's a good point, and I have tried very hard this year.
Will Howard's your boy.
I know. I love the story of Will Howard. I love what he... Riley Leonard's the same thing. We're getting the same thing from Riley Leonard, right? Like these really great players who had kind of timed out to some degree. Maybe more for Will Howard than Riley Leonard. But then they get the chance to go be in these moments. I think that's awesome.
You do know what you're hoping for. If Texas beats Ohio State, that'll be the last time we see Will Howard. I mean, because I certainly don't think that Will Howard is an NFL caliber quarterback right now.
I think you might be overstating what I love Will Howard because he gave K-State so many good years, but I don't like Ohio State. Like I hope Will Howard has achieved the level of success that I would have wished for him. Like he's been financially in a good place and now he's playing in the CFP semifinal. Like I hope he has a good game, but I'm not rooting for Ohio State. Like I don't like Ohio State at all. I don't want them to win. I'd much rather see Texas win than Ohio State. I hope Will Howard all the best ever. Like he deserves all of it. And I think he's awesome, but I don't like Ohio State. And I do think we'll get a much better national championship game if Ohio State's not in it. I think the likelihood of a close Texas Notre Dame game is more likely than the likelihood of a Notre Dame. I think it's more, if we're going to have a blowout, the most likely scenario to me is Ohio State over Notre Dame. And I don't want to see that anyway. Plus I'm rooting for Notre Dame. So I'd like to see Ohio State go away. Texas, well, you want to talk about Texas is so interesting to me because they have had most of the year this incredible defense that hasn't played particularly well lately. And then we know they've got, like, if there's any team in the country who can match up skill guy wise with Ohio State this year, it's Texas. Texas is interesting. And then they've got a big decision to make with Quinn Ewers. So that'll be a fascinating one down the road as we see Carson Beck transfer yesterday. Carson Beck of Georgia is leaving, probably going to Miami. The young folks in the office tell me he's got a girlfriend at Miami who's very famous and plays basketball there. So there's
is she
that.
One of those. Aren't there twins that play basketball for Miami? Is she one of them?
Yep, that's what I hear.
Okay.
Apparently he dates
one.
You
don't know those twins? Have you ever seen those twins?
Not before yesterday.
But you've seen them now. Okay.
So let me just get you up to speed on how old I am. I want to say that this discussion has come up in a text thread among, you know, goofballs before, because I think Jake Ferguson, the Cowboys tight end, might date the other one.
Okay.
The other twin. And so people are like, oh, yeah, he's going to Miami. He's dating I can't remember
Cavender.
The last
name. Isn't it the Cavender
twins?
Yeah,
the Cavender twins. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? They're like, the Cavender twins. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, what's the story? So I was quickly informed that they played, I think, at Fresno State and then transferred. Now they're at Miami. They're very famous.
They got like a bag of NIL money, I think, to go to Miami.
Yeah. Good for them, which is awesome. But so apparently I'm like, well, yeah, Carson Beck's going to make a boatload of money to go play in Miami and be around his celebrity girlfriend for a year. That might be a better option than being a fifth round pick in the NFL. Like, that sounds pretty good to me.
I saw speculation when it came down yesterday that he was going to transfer, that like the top two potential landing spots for him was Miami and Texas Tech. And I'm like, let me think about it. Would I rather go to Miami or would I rather go to Lubbock? Like, give me Miami any day of the week.
I think, okay, here's a hot take for you. Miami's an overrated city. I don't love Miami. It's okay. I have a lot of good memories of Miami. Got to cover a Super Bowl there. One of my great college memories was a trip to Miami. A lot of good memories there. And if I was Carson Beck's age and in his situation, Miami would be a great spot. But I do think Miami's a little bit overrated. Just a little bit. Like, they got great Cuban sandwiches down there. I'm not a huge beach guy. So it's like,
see, that's the traffic, I'd rather be on the beach any day.
Traffic kind of sucks. So it's like, okay, like the allure of it, I'm like, oh yeah, Miami.
And this may be insulting to you. I'm just gonna say it. I mean, I know you're a Texas guy. Miami over Lubbock. I mean, give me Miami any day of the week.
I'm sure. Although now, let me say this. Let me defend, because I
know you're a West Texas guy.
I know, and I have to say this. I grew up, and I did not like Texas Tech, despised them, because I went to a school right up the road that had an incredible football program that ran a similar system And like there was a time where my Division II school was sending more players to the NFL than Texas Tech. So we always had like that little brother aspect to it, right? Like, oh yeah, Tech, blah, 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 whatever. So I kind of had this thing where I was like, ah, whatever. I don't like Tech. Why are you guys rooting for Tech? You know, and when most of the people I know go to Tech. Now, as I've gotten older, especially since I've moved away, like I love Tech. I'm like, because it's nostalgic. I'm like, that is home. And I will tell you that Lubbock is an incredible place to party. Like if you like the music that I like, and I know you like some of it, all of those great bands are just rolling through the college bar scene in Lubbock all the time. I just got this. We have time for this. So going home for Christmas. So I'm the youngest of five boys. I have nieces and nephews, several of them now, that are drinking age, that are party age, that are, you know, they all have fake IDs anyway, but they're basically in college. We'll just call it that. They're in college. And because I'm gone, like I've missed the opportunity of like being the cool young uncle with all of them. Like I am as close to my oldest nephew in age as I am to my oldest brother. So this Christmas trip, we finally got the chance. And we're of course out in the country, and we're at a barn, and we're karaokeing on a makeshift karaoke, and everybody's having fun and like just acting like college kids, which of course I'm like, yeah, let me in on that. But they were karaokeing the songs that I listened to. They were karaokeing like we went through not only like the great country music and the young country people and all these up and comers, but like we did Afro Man, we did Green Day, Alice in Chains. I'm like, how do you guys even know about this stuff? But it really was like a look back. Like it's exactly like we were. And so most of them go to Texas Tech and they're telling me stories. I'll give you Afro Man as an example. I'm like, do you guys know Afro Man? I'm like, what do you mean? Do we know Afro Man? Of course they throw it on and it's wildly inappropriate. And all the older people in the room are like, whoa, what is this? And I'm like, I'm so impressed. Do you know Afro Man? And then one of my nephews pulls up a picture of he, my niece and Afro Man in a picture at a bar in Lubbock.
What?
And I'm like, all right. Like you guys are cool. Like you guys
sounds
are
like
cool.
A Mad Libs game, Afro Man in Lubbock.
Anywho, full circle on that. It's a great place to party. It's a great college town. If you've never, now is it pretty? No.
Yeah.
Is the weather great? No, it's not. Yeah. But it is a great party town.
Listen,
as a quick hat tip to Texas Tech, I also contend that every college town is a great party town. There's not one that exists.
Otherwise. I don't pretend to know a whole lot about West Texas, but I've been watching Landman. And if that tells me anything
that's
about Midland
West,
and Odessa,
that
like
that's not
West
Lubbock.
Texas, isn't it? Like
that's not Lubbock.
Part
no,
of West Texas.
It's Lubbock. I mean, that's Midland, Odessa. There isn't anybody like in Texas
desolate.
That has many. There isn't anybody in Texas that has many nice things to say about Midland, Odessa. Just as an aside, and my apologies to anybody from the Midland, Odessa area. They were in our district.
Good old
high
school football, though. I mean, I remember reading Friday Night Lights and watching the movie and all of that.
Yeah, right. They were in my district in high school. So like we would play a Tuesday night baseball game and have to drive 4.5 hours for it down to Midland from Amarillo. That was, I don't have any love loss for the area of Landman. And I think they're doing a good job of painting the picture of what it's like down there. It is crazy town down there, especially during the oil booms, like wild. I've known people that have worked down there and they tell me what they have to pay to for rent. It's a wild, wild place. Landman's going to be a lot of fun from my experiences there. There's a lot of great people down there like there are anywhere else, but let's not lump Midland. We call that the Permian Basin.
Okay.
We don't call that West Texas.
That's not West Texas.
Some people
gotcha.
Might.
Okay.
That's the Permian Basin. West Texas is pretty much Amarillo and Lubbock, and like that's it. Nobody else gets to come in on that. Some people try, but that to me, that's not West Texas. That's
still,
the Permian
you know,
Basin.
Give me Miami if I'm Carson Beck any day.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I saw his girlfriend.
South Beach with one
it.
Of the twins. I mean,
yeah,
come
I
on.
It. I get it. You'll be a big shot in town. It's fine. Music won't be as good though. I'll tell you that right now. And you know, anywho, that was a weird sidebar, but a fun one. I've been intending to tell you about how cool it was to party with my nieces and nephews and see that they're exactly like I used to be. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Sitting in a barn, makeshift karaoke. We like hooked some wires together to get it going. and everybody's just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Do they all drink Coors Original? That seems to be kind of the clear choice.
Yes, there was a lot of Coors Original there. And yeah, like a community pack of cigarettes on the table. And I'm like, this is college for me. This is so good. Like, this is so great. Oh, it was fun. All right, we'll come back. We'll begin to open the can a little bit into the football weekend and get it all previewed up for you. It's Albrock and Castor. It's Sports Daily on a Friday.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Albrock, Tommy Caster. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. We'll be opening up at 10 o'clock in the Wichita locations and in Derby. So 10 o'clock opening today with the snow. Trying to get through this last round before we can get it all melted. Anyway, if you want to win a free tea, including the newly released root beer tea and a free coffee, all you got to do is text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Man, I'm sick of this snow, Tommy. I'm sick of this snow. It's really pretty snow. I'll give it that. And a wet snow, at least. But I'm over it. Bring on the spring.
You know, the roads really are not awful. Like, they're not great. Don't get me wrong. But they're better than what they were Monday and Tuesday, I think, because we just got the snow. We didn't get the ice this time around. So if you give yourself a little bit of extra time, it took me, I don't know, an extra 5 minutes to get to work today to come here and be in the studio. So it really was a lot better than trying to drive in earlier this week.
I'll tell you that, and I assume you were mostly on side streets. Last night, I was driving home as it really started to pile up and come down. And I will say this, I have never seen more slide-offs in any conditions than I saw last night about 6:30, 7 o'clock on K96. It was wild. And I've narrowly avoided it about two or three times. Like, if I got above about 20 miles an hour on K96, I was headed to the ditch. And so I'm like, okay, and everybody was like, everybody just had their hazards on, inching along. And it was wild because, like, you had to, like, they had gotten most of that cleared, but it was just that it was so wet. That snow was so wet, which is really pretty. It was slick. Now, of course, they've had a chance to get most of that plowed, and the stuff on the side streets was fine because it just fell on other snow.
Yeah.
But highways were tough.
I have a philosophy. Like, if I'm going to drive in this stuff, I'm going to avoid highways at all costs. Like, I would rather take the side roads and go 10 miles an hour on a side road if I need to. Fewer cars on those roads. And, you know, I feel like it's, you know, for me at least, a better situation.
It was a last minute decision. And it was the wrong one. And I knew it immediately. As Rick says, don't drive on the highway. I'm usually of the same boat, but I'm like, you know, I was on this road not that long ago and they had it totally cleared and it's not that cold outside. It's like, I wonder if it's even sticking yet on the highway because people will be driving on it. And I gambled incorrectly.
Yeah.
I was like, immediately, as soon as I was on the on ramp and I got like a look up and I could just see all the headlights facing the wrong direction, I was like, crap. Like, that was not the right choice. And it was wild. On the highway. So yeah, that is always a good philosophy, is just give the plows a chance to get those highways cleared and stay to the side streets. Because side streets, you're on, you know, when you're on snow, and it's piled up, you've got pretty good traction if you can clear the drifts, right? So anyway, stay safe out there, everybody. Give yourself a little extra time today if you're about to head out the door. If you're just getting in your car, maybe you're letting it warm up. We got about another day of this. I bet the plow crews are going to knock it out today quickly, I'm sure. And then hopefully we'll get a little reprieve from all this for at least a little while here. And we can soak in maybe some of this good moisture. Just keep telling yourself about the moisture. We are in a drought. Anywho. NFL news. They will move the Vikings game. The Vikings game against the Rams because of the fires out there. One of the sad, sad things happening in the world right now. It actually, we saw the line move on that, Tommy. I think about a point and a half with the move to Arizona. So no more home field advantage for the Rams. Of all of these games, I do think that is the most exciting game that we're looking ahead to. Like, that's the one most people are looking forward to the most. We talked about it yesterday, right? Like, both of these teams, you could see making runs, you know, through this thing and finding their way into a playoff. But this round, I think, is shaping up to be pretty dang good. Like, we've got four of the six games where we don't feel like we have a heavy favorite. And that's a pretty good, like, we were just talking about college football and some of the margins. That's a pretty good wild card weekend for the NFL to have four of six, at least have the feeling going in that they're going to be real close games.
And even one of the other ones that there is more of a larger spread. I'm actually really excited about. That's the Broncos and the Bills. I'm really excited about that game. Considering that it looks like, I think at least last check, that Buffalo is expecting snow this weekend, and the Broncos coming in, and after what they did to the Chiefs backups a week ago, I do think that Denver's defense can get after it against Josh Allen. That's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. I know the spread is a little bit larger in that game than some of the other ones this weekend, but that's another one I'm really excited about.
I think the Ravens, now they're not going to have Zay Flowers. That might be a weather game. There's a decent chance that game gets close too. Wild card weekend is not my favorite NFL playoff weekend. Next week is my favorite NFL play. I love the divisional round typically. This one looks like it's going to be pretty good. And we're going to pick all these games with Paul and Brandon and TJ. I would say right now, I don't like any of the underdogs to win. I like all the favorites. We've got two of those favorites on the road in the Vikings and the Chargers. And then I like all the other home teams here. Do you like any of the outright underdogs to win any of their games this weekend? Not considering the spread, because we'll pick those in just a little bit, but just as outright winners.
I like the Rams in their matchup. We'll talk about that when we pick it, but I do like that game. I think that might be the only one that I'm really leaning on as far as, you know, potentially an underdog upsetting.
That would be I think that's the most likely. I want to say we're not giving the Texans enough credit, and maybe we're not, but
I could see the Texans beating the Chargers at home. I don't know how likely that is, but I could see that one being the case too. That's probably the next one.
You've got that one, and they're probably not playing as bad as like the Steelers, for instance. The Packers, they've got some injuries to deal
with. Can the Commanders beat the Bucks? I think that's probably one too.
Yeah. That's the one it's for sure a possibility. They had a better record during the regular season. Like, they were a better team during the regular season. It's really just the rookie quarterback, and can he get it done? It kind of reminds me of C.J. Stroud last year a little bit. I think the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield have the propensity. They're a weird team too, right? Like, they have a lot of the things that you could see help them make a little bit of a run. But they also have shown us throughout the year they can just flat like lose any game too. They had that stretch where they lost four in a row earlier in the year. They've been much better lately. They've only lost one game since their bye week. It was that game against the Cowboys, a really close game. But if we're being fair, they played the Giants, they played Carolina, they played the Raiders, they played Carolina again, and they played the Saints. They kind of just like beat up on their division. They did beat the Chargers badly, 40-17. You might remember that one, and that one was on the road. But otherwise, they have been a team that beats bad teams this year and kind of loses to good teams. They've played Washington earlier in the year. They beat them badly, but that was the first game ever for Jaden Daniels. They have a win over Detroit. They have a win over Philadelphia. So maybe I'm not being fair, but they also have losses to a lot of good teams too. They're a hard team to predict. I guess the moral of my story with Tampa is they're a really hard team to figure, because when they play well, they can beat anybody. But they're also capable of a dud. And I don't know if that's a direct reflection of Baker Mayfield.
I don't think it is. No, I do think it is. I mean, I think when he is on, he is locked in and really, really good. When he's not, the team goes the way that Baker Mayfield goes. And there's not a whole lot, I think, else outside of that that really dictates the way that the Buccaneers will play a game, whether or not, you know, Baker Mayfield is actually locked in. Because when he is, he's got a great weapon in Mike Evans. Their running game is, you know, really kind of a two or three headed monster down there. And so they, you know, kind of lean on several different guys like Bucky Irving and Rashad White and all of that. But really, it's the Baker Mayfield show. It's the big show. And if he can get locked in and if he can be on point and accurate and the gunslinger that he is, they usually go with him and they can put up a ton of points and a ton of yards. But if he's not, then it's a different kind of story for the Bucs.
See, so here's what's funny about that. In games, I'm just looking at his log for the year. In games where he's thrown more than one interception, which has been 5 times this year, the Buccaneers are 3-2 in those games. So that's what makes it hard for me. Like, yeah, when he's really good, they're hard to beat.
Yeah.
But they have won games against good teams where he has been, let's call it average, right? And so I don't know what the other thing is. I think their defense isn't very good, but it's inconsistent. So they're just really hard to figure out. I like them in this game to win. Now the spread, we'll get into that in a minute. I like them to win, but they may be the most difficult of the first round team. Like, I guess the floor and the ceiling maybe feels the widest with Tampa to me in the postseason period that there is left or going into the postseason. Tampa has the widest range of margins, even more to me than the Rams. I think Tampa's range is wider.
On top of that too, I mean, really this team is very, very similar to the same team last year that won a playoff game. There really isn't a whole lot different from last year to this year for the Bucs. Same quarterback, same head coach, same weapons, you know, all of that for the most part. They won a playoff game a year ago, so they know how to be in the playoffs and win. And so I do think that that sort of thing is important too. And you can't discount the importance of this team being in this place before and knowing how to win when it matters.
I want you to look at all of these teams, every single one of them, and the two teams that have a bye, and they all have one thing in common. One thing, they've got good quarterbacks. Man, is that there's just not anything like the impact in sports that a singular player or position has than a quarterback in the NFL. Every one of them. And you can say Russell Wilson's not a good quarterback anymore. Dude might be a Hall of Famer, right? So I'm not going to just all of a sudden say Russell Wilson's terrible. He played really well at one part of the season. He hasn't been playing very well lately, but I'm not going to call him a bad quarterback. They're the closest thing to a team, though, at the moment without, like, at this very day, a good quarterback. Everybody else, like, it's the common denominator between what it takes to make the playoffs in the NFL and not. I mean, it's that simple. Now, there are some young ones. You've got two rookies starting in these games in Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. But every other team, like, and you can say Sam Darnold's not a good quarterback. Well, he's been an MVP candidate this year. So this year he has too been a good quarterback. But that's it in the NFL. Like, if you can't start there, as we look at all these coaching openings and everything else, like, if you can't start there at quarterback and you're a prospective coach, like Mike Vrabel, if Mike Vrabel takes a job where they don't have quarterback established, he's nuts. Because he'd had a ton of success without a great quarterback. Don't do that again, Mike Vrabel. Go find, if you believe in Drake May, that's one thing. That's great. But if you don't, you can't take that job. You can't do it.
Yeah, go to Chicago or, you know, go to, I don't know, Jacksonville, I guess. Even though Trevor Lawrence isn't great, at least there's an established quarterback in place there. You know, the Jets is not a good landing spot for Mike Vrabel because of that. the Raiders. Not a good landing spot for Vrabel because of that. The Raiders situation is wild, though, considering Tom Brady's impact there. They fired their general manager yesterday, a couple of days after they fired Antonio Pierce. This coaching carousel, it always crazy. Is insane. But man, like it's getting wild and it just continues.
It's all about the quarterbacks. We're going to tell you when our three college basketball teams play when we return. We're going to make all the picks for these games we're talking about in hour number two. So stay tuned for all of that. We're coming right back on Sports Daily.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, glad to be with you. Crestview Country Club, proud supporters of the program, and we are glad that they do. It is, it's a deep snowstorm out there, and I just wanted, they got a nice fireplace in the bar there, Tommy. I would love to just, like, release every other responsibility that this snow brings in my life. That's what I'm going to, and I would like to sit at that fire pit thing they have in their bar. And I would like to watch the snow, look at it, and have a cocktail. That's what I would like to do.
I'll meet you there at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, a little happy hour?
I'll probably be with a shovel out at one of the stores. But maybe, let's look into that, because that might be a good idea. But yeah, I'm trying to get parking lots plowed right now. I mean, this is just such a pain. I am so sick of it. Can't we just have nice things here? Like, can't we just like roll through? Kids are out of school today. Like, I just want to go have a snowball fight. I'm probably gonna do that anyway. When you have a snowball, your kids are maybe a little too young for this, but when you have a snowball fight with your kids, like, are you trying to drill them? Like, teach them a lesson?
Oh, absolutely.
Teach them how to really snowball fight?
Our oldest knows how to build, you know, snowballs and make them and do all of that. The other day when we were outside doing it, like, I was shoveling, and it was so much fun to just, like, take the shovel of snow and dump it on them. That sort of thing is in place.
And this one's more fair to do that because it's not as cold outside. Yeah. So I am looking forward to just, like, unloading in a snowball fight. My wife kind of is a baby about it sometimes. I accidentally hit her in the face and she, you know, gets mad at me or whatever. The kids are all about it. Now ours are at the good age too, where they kind of get a little competitive with it. So it's fun. I hope everybody's enjoying it out there. This snow, this is beautiful snow. Such a pain. We're going to make some picks here in this hour. Tommy, college basketball this weekend. All three teams play on Saturday. K-State is going to have a tough one against Houston. No doubt about that. It would easily become their best win of the season if they can get it. That'll be the last of the three games that's played. But that is going to be a tall order there. KU goes on the road to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, after a nice start to their year, has a chance in that game to start the conference season 0-4. I think that certainly makes them dangerous in that game. And then there's the Shockers, who go and play one of the worst teams in Division I college basketball on the road, but it is one of the worst teams in college basketball. TJ Cleland was at the Paul Mills, had his weekly availability yesterday, and he said it was a very different tone than he's used to. Paul Mills pulled no punches. They're having two-a-day practices now. Mills, he basically told a lot of stories about the anger he feels right now at the way his team's playing. And I get it, because he's very publicly and very out there been a big proponent of how good he thinks this team can be. And I think in spurts, we have seen them be that this year, but not lately. And I don't, you know, again, we've talked about it a little bit. Like, it looks like their defense is lagging. It looks like their energy is lagging, at least out of the gates in these games. And that does seem like correctable stuff. They're going to get Ronnie DeGray back probably Tuesday. Maybe even I can't shake this feeling that maybe he tries to like make the trip with them this weekend. But I think when we talk about like the frustrations of Wichita State, I think the most frustrating thing is it's that they should be better, right? Last year you wondered like how good is this team capable of being? I think this year the frustration is that you think they can be a lot better than they've played in the last little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, because like you mentioned, the correctability point of it, you know, that really becomes the impetus moving forward starting this weekend. And it could go one of two directions. I mean, the challenges that Paul Mills has laid out there for his team can go one of two ways. I mean, they can either rally around it and, you know, the team collectively can commit themselves to having better defense and energy and effort and all of that, all the things that we've talked about, because to your point, a lot of it is correctable, or things could just go off a cliff. And, you know, I don't think that Paul Mills is the kind of coach to allow that sort of thing to go off the cliff, but it very well could be out of his control. I mean, there could be, it could just be the collection of personalities on this team that, you know, don't allow him to reach every person. Is that likely? I don't know. Probably not. I'd like to think that Paul Mills has been doing this long enough to know how to reach each one of his players, you know, to be able to get them to collectively buy into, we've got to turn up the heat defensively. We've got to make sure that we don't take plays off or long stretches of a game off. We can't let the intensity lapse. That's not what we do. That's not what we're about. I guarantee that's what he's been preaching. It's just a matter of whether or not that can then be applied into the game.
Yeah, it goes into the same things we talk about with K-State. Like, at what point, and you know, you kind of want to, and when fans are angry and when everybody's angry, you want to blame something. So if we're going to blame something, do you, like, at what point is it a coach thing? At what point is it a player thing with some personal accountability? I always have a hard time with that.
It's a combination of both. It's a combination
I think
of both.
Here's what I would tell you as like a life philosophy. It's far more on the players. If it's an effort issue, that is a player problem. However, we both know, and most people know, motivating people is a big part of being a leader. And so I do ultimately think the responsibility for effort and energy and care and all of those things do fall on the individual first. I do think one of the most difficult things about this job in college sports especially is getting those players to be the best versions of themselves all the time. And there are lots of different ways to do that. Paul Mills talked about that after the game. He said there are some teams you can talk it through and get there, and there are some teams that you basically, like, you got to kind of be mean to them a little bit and you know, get after them that way. And we know that there and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There are different teams take on different identities. Bill Self is oftentimes the bad guy. Bill Self is oftentimes the good guy too. Like so I think that's a part of it. And I will say this about K-State. Let me put a difference between these two. I don't know how good K-State can be this year. Probably not very, right? When it comes to their standing in the Big 12, based on what we've seen. I hope they can be, but they're about to start playing Big 12 competition now, and they still don't have a high quality win this year. Cincinnati, if you want to call it that, and that might be, but Cincinnati's off to a rough start too in the Big 12. Wichita State, we have seen, I would even say fairly consistently, be what looks like the best version of themselves. They just got to get back there. So I think it's a little easier to imagine, and again, this is relative terms, Wichita State being closer to what we thought they might be with some tweaks and a turnaround, than K-State, who now has to play the Big 12 gauntlet while they try to still do that. So we'll see. Both again, K-State's got a game that you're just like, eh. It is at home, but it's Houston. We'll see what they can do. I will say this about that game, though, Tommy. Like, it's at home. If you ever wanted to make a statement, that's as good a spot to make a statement as they're going to have all year, welcoming in Houston. Wichita State needs to just do what we've seen them already do this season.
Yeah, it's expected for Wichita State, I think, this weekend, because, again, they're playing one of the worst teams in Division I basketball. I know it's on the road, but still, this team is not good. South Florida wasn't good either, and they lost by double digits to South Florida. So, You know, it's expected, I think, that Wichita State, from a talent perspective, is head and shoulders better. They've got to get that done. It's expected of them. With Kansas State, it's unexpected for them to beat Houston, whether or not that game is in Manhattan. I mean, that's unexpected to beat the Cougars. But knowing how wacky this season has been for Kansas State so far, kind of expect the unexpected, I guess. I'm not suggesting that I'm going in with the thought that, yeah, they're going to beat the Cougars at home. But, man, it's been wild for K-State, and that's what's made it so hard to pinpoint the direction of this team, because the ceiling is where it is, the floor is where it is, and that's a wide gap.
Wide gap. Really wide gap. So we'll have three pretty meaningful college basketball games. Again, I do think, Tommy, KU's got to be careful here, because Cincinnati is desperate right now. Like, I imagine the conversations about Cincinnati are pretty similar to the conversations we're having about Wichita State right now, where you felt really good going into conference play, and then it has not been a good start to conference play. And so they're going to be motivated at home to do something. That shouldn't matter against Kansas. Kansas should be able to take care of that. They have less wiggle room now, I think, to withstand those kinds of games. Because if you look at the Big 12 schedule in totality, Cincinnati's going to need to be one that you get. That's going to need to be a game that they win. And if they play like they did against UCF, or if they play the way that they did against Arizona State in the second half, they're not going to have a problem with Cincinnati. But if they don't, Cincinnati can beat them. We talk about a floor and a ceiling. KU, we see it sometimes, like we did on whatever day that was, in the same game on Wednesday night. Like, you saw the floor or close to it, and you saw the ceiling, at least defensively. So their consistency, I think, takes the spotlight too in these games that they'll play.
It does, and it goes back to what we talked about after the Arizona State game, that the defensive effort in the second half from Kansas, that becomes the baseline expectation for Bill Self. I guarantee it. He's going to expect that from the opening tip, and it starts tomorrow against Cincinnati.
Got to have it. All right, we're coming right back. We're going to make some picks. Brandon, TJ, Paul will join us when we return on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. We are ready to make some football picks. We are ready to have some fun. I guess we already did, and I forgot, pick the other CFP semifinal last week. How dare me. Tommy, remind us real quick how that went. Who did we all pick in the Ohio State-Texas game?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Give me like a minute, and I'll tell you that.
I got it. Okay. You want it? I got it right here.
Paul's got it ready.
All right. Jacob, you and I just so happened to take the University of Texas Longhorns. We had great reasons why. They're physical. They're fast. They've got a great defense. However, BJ, TJ, and Tommy all took Ohio State. And why wouldn't you guys? That's not a bad pick, fellas. That's not a bad pick at all.
All right. So Brandon, TJ, Tommy take Ohio State. Let's get into the NFL here, and we'll start right with the first game. We'll take them in order. Chargers Texans very well could be the game that decides who the Chiefs play. The Chargers are 3-point road favorites in this one. I'll start us off. I like the Chargers, fellas. I think the Chargers have a chance to be sort of a noisy team here with Harbaugh and Herbert. I certainly like them in this game against the Texans. I do think we're underselling the Texans a bit nationally, but give me the Chargers and I'll lay the 3 points. Tommy?
I'm with you. I think the Chargers can be a thorn in the side of this AFC playoff picture. I think that they beat the Texans, and I've been high on the Texans earlier this year, but they've not played anywhere close to, I think, the overall expectations. I thought they could be a potential Super Bowl type caliber team at the beginning of the year. So I think that the Chargers, behind Justin Herbert, behind Ladd McConkey, Jim Harbaugh is going to make sure that the defense is turned up, the offensive line is turned up. I think the Chargers win. I think they could win in the divisional round two potentially, but I'm going to take the Chargers. I'll lay those points.
Paul, the Texans, to be fair to them, have had a lot of injuries this year. A lot of teams do, but they really have lost a lot of weapons. They still have C.J. Stroud there and a pretty good defense. Is that enough, or which side of this are you on?
Well, I appreciate Tommy's memory because, Tommy, we talked, you and I personally talked just about this exact scenario 2 months ago, that the Texans still might be a super. We were talking Super yeah. Bowl, Jacob, weren't we, Tommy?
We were.
And so, you know, what a disappointment. That's probably, from a football standpoint, probably one of the more disappointing football teams in the entire NFL. But, you know, it's tough to be good in the NFL. It's tough all the time. You know, I know I'm not going to make up any ground on TJ, but I can't lose ground. I'm going to take the Chargers as well.
You know, it's interesting, TJ. The whole country's talking about how disappointing the Texans have been lately. They're 3-2 in their last five, and their two losses are on the road to Kansas City and against Baltimore. Are they really as bad as everyone says they are?
Yeah, I think that they are. I'm going to pick the Chargers as well, and it's not a Chargers thing. I think it's a Texans thing, just of what we saw from them on Christmas Day, what we saw from them against the Chiefs, just can't get out of my head. And the Chargers are just playing really good football right now. They're one of the last teams in, I guess, with the 5 seed. They're not one of the last teams in anymore, but they're playing a good ball right now. I think they can go do it on the road. They're going to make it a Chargers home game probably in Houston as well, I imagine.
Brandon, you've got a chance to take a home dog here on an island. You taking that chance?
Well, this is the vaunted pick of death. Go ahead and show the graphics to all of the Texans fans because, no, it is a sweep of the board. I just like what the Chargers are able to do too much. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to come out and have a statement with this team. Vlad McConkey, Quentin Johnson. I just like this Chargers team too much. Give me the road team.
All right, Steelers-Ravens, this is one of the big lines. Ravens are 9.5-point home favorites. We learned they will not have Zay Flowers in this game. Could be a weather game. We've seen these games be historically close. Tommy, is 9.5 points. Are you still comfortable with that number?
Man, that's really, really tough. I think the Ravens, from a talent perspective, are head and shoulders better than the Steelers. And I've seen everybody on social media, I've seen the national talking heads say, this is going to be Lamar Jackson's year, and he's going to, you know, lead the Ravens all the way to the Super Bowl. And I think he can, but I'm sure that he absolutely did not want to draw the Steelers in this wild card round for sure because of the way he has played against the Steelers. Because it's a weather game and all that, I hate taking the Steelers. It's a big line. History tells us that the Steelers can keep it close. I guess I'm going to take Pittsburgh, and I'll take those points.
Paul. Where you at?
Lots of points. If somebody would tell me who's going to run the football better in this game, that's who I would take, notwithstanding the 9.5 points. But I don't know who's going to run the football better. I can't figure out either one of these teams at times. This is almost like a guess for me because the 9.5 points makes a big, big, big difference on how I look at this. But you want to know something? Lamar Jackson is the kind of guy that needs to shine when it's time to shine, and he will shine. I'm going to go ahead and listen, 9.5 points, though. Man, I'm going to go ahead and take Lamar Jackson. I'm going to go with my gut, the first instinct. I'm going to take the Ravens, and I'm giving 9.5. Am I really giving 9.5 in the playoffs? I guess I am. I'll take the Ravens.
TJ, before I ask you for your pick, I do need to ask you, are you in bed right now?
Yes. I woke up about 10 minutes ago. The new time change is getting
that's what. Here. Well, I just, there's a background. I was like, I bet you that's a bed. So there's everybody. Can get a good look at TJ's bed. We won't ask you if you're wearing pants right now. Don't ask me if I'm wearing pants right now, for that matter.
I don't know.
All right, which side of this? Yeah, that's true. None of us could be wearing pants. Maybe we should try that sometime. What's your guess on this, TJ?
I'm going to take Tommy's argument that he said about the Ravens really didn't want to draw the Steelers. I think you can make that argument on every single team in the playoffs. It's probably a bad matchup right now because their playoff teams are all playing pretty good right now. I think that 9.5 is just too big of a number to give in the playoffs, wild card round, divisional round, or whatever. I think that's too big of a number, especially with Mike Tomlin on the other sideline. They're going to find a way to cover this. Ravens are going to win by about 7, but they're going to cover.
Boy, Brandon, this is hard. Like, we don't see playoff games get like this very often, and we got 2 of them this year. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, just the divisional game. George Pickens is back. Steelers are healthy. No Zay Flowers for the Ravens. I'm going to just take the Steelers and the points. I think they can keep it with a touchdown.
So Lamar Jackson, Tommy brought this up, 3-5 versus the Steelers over his career. You know, Russell Wilson's only 2-3 against the Ravens over his career, and I know only 2 of those have come as a Steeler, but it's against, you know, Harbaugh. So I've struggled with this one all week. I like the Ravens to win the game, certainly. But in a weather game, Tomlin always keeps it close. The underdogs always perform in this rivalry historically. It is too many points for me. I'm gonna take the bait here too with Pittsburgh just because of the points. I do think the Ravens win, and I think Lamar Jackson will play fine. But that's just a lot of points. Here's the game, another one with a lot of points. Broncos and Bills, Paul. Bills are 8.5-point home favorites against Denver, I feel like, who has become the darling of the NFL here, even though they haven't been playing well either. They've been maybe playing worse than the Texans. I know they got the game against the Chiefs there, but they had lost their two prior games before that. What do you like in this one?
Well, I know all my friends in Aspen are probably out on the slopes right now, but I know they're probably all mad at me, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Bills. Listen, when it comes time to shine, it's time to shine. We've talked all year long about the Bills could actually win the Super Bowl, guys, haven't we? All year long, Super Bowl Bills, and that's a possibility. Not only will they get into it, they can win it. Right now, it's the time for them to shine. Bills shine. Broncos, it's been a wonderful story, a wonderful ride. But I'm telling you right now, it stops this weekend. I'm taking the Bills, and I think this is a fairly easy pick.
TJ, you agree?
I do not agree. This first time I've looked at these lines, I figured this was going to be like 4 or 5 points with the way that everybody's been taking the Broncos. I imagine that's the public's favorite, is moving towards the Broncos. So I'll join them. I think that the Broncos can definitely cover this line and give the Bills a bit of a struggle at home to start the playoffs, but the Bills will get it done. But give me the Broncos to cover.
Brandon, we're two Broncos here. What do you think on this one?
The Broncos have one of the best pass and rush defenses in the entire league. They have been scoring 24 points at will. I like where this Broncos team is at. I think they're going to have a chance to put a real scare. And I think a lot of Chiefs fans are going to be thinking at one point in this game, Broncos might be coming here next week. I like the Broncos to keep this one close and maybe get it done on the road.
Guys, I think Buffalo's going to clean Denver's clock. I don't buy Denver. I haven't bought Denver. I think they're a fun story. I think Bo Nix has been good. But everybody's remembering what they did to the preseason Chiefs last week. They gave up 34 and 30 points the 2 weeks prior. I don't think their defense is nearly... Their pass rush is good, but I don't think their defense is some juggernaut. Certainly against a team like Buffalo. I think Buffalo... I like this. This is an actual money bet for me. I like Buffalo. I love that the line's coming down now to 8.5. Maybe it'll go down even further, but give me Buffalo to hold court at home there and win by a couple scores. Tommy?
Also, I got to break the tie. We've got two on the Bills, two on the Broncos, it looks like. Look, I think Buffalo wins this game. I think they win by a touchdown, but I don't think that covers the number against the Broncos. I just certainly think that pass rush that Denver set, even though they gave up a bunch of points before the Week 18 game against the Chiefs, the pass rush has been good all season long for the Broncos. I think they can get after Josh Allen and make him a little bit uncomfortable. Like I said, I think that the Bills ultimately win the game and move on, but I'm going to take Denver, and I'll take those points.
Buffalo has been a Jekyll and Hyde defense, to be sure. They've been really good and bad at times this year. All right, TJ, you start us on the next one. Packers-Eagles. This one's tough. Eagles are 5-point home favorites. The Packers don't have Christian Watson, but it looks like both the quarterbacks will end up playing in this game. Which side are you on?
Yeah, I really like the Packers. I put in all of my future slips of NFC champions, and they were on my list. I think they were my second favorite pick on that list. And they're playing really well. I think that Nick Sirianni in the playoffs, looking back what happened last year, look what happened early or late last season in the regular season and what happened. I just don't want to pick Nick Sirianni, honestly, so I'm going to pick the Packers in this one. I think they can get it done on the road to probably win this game, honestly.
Really? So an outright winner for Green Bay to start there. Brandon?
Yeah, we haven't seen Nick Sirianni with Saquon Barkley in the playoffs, and I think Saquon was going to be the X Factor. Arguably could have been the MVP this year. I don't have confidence either way in this game, but I'm just going to ride with the Eagles and punch them into the next round.
Man, this revisionist history with Nick Sirianni. He went to the Super Bowl, didn't he? Like, he's not that bad. He's another guy where he catches a little bit of a bad rap. I think this is a really hard game to pick. I don't like 5 points. What a weird line. I do like the Eagles to win the game. I could see a scenario where they get up, and because they have Saquon Barkley, maybe they ice it. So not a game my real money will touch, but I'll take the Eagles minus five here, mostly because I picked them in the preseason to go to the Super Bowl, and I'll just stick with it. Tommy?
Looked like the line this morning moved even a little bit closer to the Packers. I've got it at 4.5. I know we're picking it at 5, but you know it could even change more, you know, between now and Sunday. I think because of the issues with the Packers and Jordan Love not at 100%, and Christian Watson out for the year and all of that, I like the Eagles. I like to lay those points. I want to be clear. I don't like Nick Sirianni, and I don't think the Eagles are going to win a championship as long as Sirianni's the coach. But I do think they can get by a banged-up Packers team fairly easily and move on to the next round. Give me the Eagles. I'm going to lay the points.
Okay, Paul. We got them all over the place on this one. Where do you start?
Well, I've been fooled once. Shame on me. Fooled again. Shame on me again. Fooled a third time in the last month and a half by the Packers. I have learned my lesson. It only takes three knocks over the head before I learn my lessons. I'm taking the Eagles. I'm not betting on the Packers anymore. I don't even care if they advance this week. I'm not betting on them ever again. I'm taking the Eagles.
All right. So we got, what do we have? TJ, you're on a Packers money line. You're forfeiting your points. Is that right? That's what we're doing?
I'm okay. I got a lead to retain here.
Okay, so you'll keep your points. All right, final game. Not final game. We have two more to go. Commanders, Bucks. I think this might be the hardest one to pick. Buccaneers are 3-point home favorites. I think, Brandon, you're up first on this one. Ride or die with Baker Mayfield. Which way are you going?
I'm riding and dying with Baker Mayfield. I just like what they're able to do too much. Washington in these spots against these playoff teams just hasn't lived up to the expectations that we've seen the rest of the schedule. I think Tampa Bay just could be a little bit too much to be the NFC title champions.
Yeah, I agree. This is all about the Buccaneers. The Commanders' story is great, and there's absolutely a world where Jaden Daniels can just take over and run wild, but they're going to have to stop Tampa's offense, and I think they'll be challenged to do that. So I'm going to take Tampa. I think they're the safer play. I do think either of these teams are capable of sort of a Cinderella run, if you will, in the NFC playoffs. Tommy, what do you think?
Well, I'm reading between the lines, and it looks like the bookmakers, they're expecting Baker to run wild in this game because the over-under is the highest out of any playoff game. It's at 50.5 right now. So I think they're expecting the Bake Show to run wild. I agree with them. I'm going to take the Bucks. I'm going to lay the 3 points.
Paul, I think they think both of them are going to run wild. Both of these defenses are susceptible. You've got one quarterback that does it I don't want to say that. Baker can run when he needs to run, but Jaden Daniels he's pretty dynamic. What do you like here?
Don't you guys believe in magic anymore? Don't you believe in the beauty of football and the stories that are made within the game and the guys that become heroes? Have you guys lost your childlike love of football? Because if you did, too bad. But if you still have it, then you're going to go with the Commanders and the story of Jaden and all that his teammates and what he brings. You guys need to get the little childlike love of football back and take the Commanders with me. I'm taking the Commanders.
All right, what? TJ, we got to go quick here for the remainder. Which side are you on?
I guess I've lost my childlike love because Baker Mayfield's better than Jaden Daniels. Give me the Bucks.
I don't like that we just gave Paul a Commander's Island. I will say that. All right, one more. It's moved to a neutral site. Vikings and Rams. I'm first again. I'm going to take the Vikings. The line has moved. I don't like that one bit, but it is neutral field now. Give me the Vikings. I'll lay 2.5. Tommy?
Brandon needs to cover his ears on this one. I like the Rams outright in this game. The Vikings have a ton of talent, but Sam Darnold concerned me a lot in that game last week and how inaccurate he was. So because of that, I'm going to ride with the Rams. I think they've got a ton of talent. I'm going to take the points, but I think LA could win outright.
All right, Paul, which side are you on?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams as well for a multitude of reasons, the same reasons they talked about. But the Rams, I think, right now are just a little better. By the way, this game's being played in Arizona. I think we do need to point that out. But yep. I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams. Rams, it's almost like either they are distracted or they're playing for their people in their hometown. I don't know what it'll be. I'm taking the Rams, though.
Yeah, it is a factor. How many of those players are affected, TJ? Which side are you playing?
You know, a lot of people call Phoenix the Minneapolis of the West.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they so do?
I've never heard that. Heard that. I'll be darned.
Yeah, I've heard that. So you're taking the Vikings?
Yes, I am.
All right, Brandon, final word here on your Vikings.
My Vikings are not covering the 2.5. That's right, Tommy. Either my team advances into the divisional round and I win in real life, or I'm going to make a win here in the picks. That, and the Vikings just really haven't showed up in their 3 playoff games this year. 2 with Detroit, 1 with LA on the road and on Thursday night. And I'm not going to lie, this Rams team scares the hell out of me. So I think the Vikings have a real chance to lose this game. I'm going to take the Rams, unfortunately.
Yeah, everybody. It scares everybody. The Rams can make a run. So could the Vikings. Like, the NFC playoffs are wild, fellas. There's not an awful team in the NFC playoffs. All of them. Like, there's not a... That would really surprise me if... Maybe Washington would be the one that would really surprise me if they were playing in the Super Bowl. I don't think any of the other ones would really, truly surprise me. That's our picks. That's the NFL divisional round. TJ, go back to bed.
Wow, super wild card.
Sorry, wild, super wild card round. Super wild card round. TJ, go back to bed. Brandon, go get your groceries. I don't know what you're doing out there.
We're golfing.
Okay.
Yeah, golfing. Good day for you. Good for you.
Paul and Tommy will be back. We're going to look more into the college basketball. We got some comments, some questions about some of the college basketball. We'll get to that as we make our way through. We appreciate everybody being here with us. You can leave your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, or you can give us a call on the KFH hotline. It's back open at 869-1240. We're coming right back on Sports Daily.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in here to Sports Daily. On your way into work and want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app, you can do that, and Odyssey.com. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download it today to get started. Thanks to everybody who's listening to us on the podcast right now. You can leave us comments for the future by using the little microphone icon there on your podcast. We can also take your video comments. Lots of great comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Austin asked just before we started to make our picks, what's gone wrong with Wichita State basketball? Was very excited coming into the year, and so far it's been disappointing. Any thoughts? Yeah, look, Austin, I think for at least Tommy and I, and we'll get Paul's thought on it, It's a little too Jekyll and Hyde. Like, we've seen the best of the team, and I think the best of the team is a team that can certainly be in the top, let's call it 4 of the AAC. And I think the worst of the team is, well, it's what we're seeing right now and what we saw last year in AAC play. It's just which version of this team, which we've seen, you know, be very good and very bad all within this year, shows up consistently down the stretch here. I don't know the answer to that question right now, Tommy.
I do think that there's a major difference, though, between the team last year and the team this year, even though the results have kind of been the same with Jekyll and Hyde. Last year, I felt like the team would just disappear offensively for periods of time and just have big lapses of time where they weren't able to score effectively. This year, I think the scoring is there for the most part between Xavier Bell and Corey Washington and Justin Hill. But really, it's been defensively. I mean, they have been giving up points more so than, you know, I think anybody is comfortable with, 90-some points, you know, in their conference games lately, and they haven't been able to stop anybody. And so that's, I think, a major, major, major factor that they've got to get shored up.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, it you never like to see the effort be questioned, and it's been questioned a lot, not just by fans. Paul Mills, I think the coaches, a lot of that. Like, you've been here before. Teams will go one way or the other when you start to challenge and approach and be combative toward that effort thing, right? Like, you can really only go one of two ways on that.
Right. Well, here's the problem. You mentioned the whole scenario with the Jekyll and Hyde. Jekyll and Hyde is what? Several personalities. That's what that means. And this team has several personalities. It wants to be a personality and a team that plays great defense. Every great team that wins NCAA championships plays great defense. Now, you've had your exceptions over the years, the Houstons and the teams that used to, you know, run everybody out of the gym. But for the most part, you win with defense. This team is not that team. This team does not believe in defense. This team does not believe, right, at this point, in what, you know, coach is selling, and they're not buying, and they're not doing it. And you can see it. And when you can see teams get great looks at the basket, when you can see great teams get good looks down in the paint, there's a problem. And this team does not know what its identity is. It hasn't established it. It hasn't decided yet, we want to be good at this, or we want to be really good at this. And that's what it takes. This team has no identity, because if I was to ask either one of you guys, what do you think this team is based upon? What would you tell me? I don't believe you could tell me anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Offense, I guess. I'm going back. So after the Florida game, which, you know, was a tournament game, whatever. So that's since the holiday, basically.
Right, okay.
They have wins over Alcorn State, East Tennessee State, and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
They, and then there, of course, is the K-State game. K-State is the one we keep looking at. And look. K-State is not what we thought they would be. K-State has its own struggles. But if you watched that game, that's the energy. That's the best version of Wichita State when you talk about Jekyll and Hyde. It's there. It's not so much that it was against K-State. It's just like all around, like they flat brought it in that game. If they can replicate that, they're going to be a really good team. But then there's losses to DePaul, to UMKC. And then the two losses, Temple and South Florida, all of which they've played very poor defense. And I think that's what you point to. Yes, Paul.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, and the thing that scares me is the apathy of this program right now. I mean, we saw a game against South Florida that, you know, there was very – now, I understand there was snow on the ground. It snowed that day or that night before, and I get that, and I understand that was always it's always a problem. But apathy is getting to be something that's a problem. All three of us know it is a problem. And you know, you want to get the fans in the seats. You gotta have kids that are excited to play. You gotta have kids that will D up and play hard and give effort. And right now, guys, I'm not sure we're seeing that. Now, I have confidence in this coaching staff that they can do whatever it takes to get this back on. That's why you're coaches. That's why you go to practice. And of course, practice is now 2 days a week. You know something? I like that thought. Let's go ahead and let's get started practicing two times a day. You know, you guys don't want to learn what we're learning in one practice. All right. If it takes two, we go two.
No, that's so, look, let's call it what it is, Tommy. Okay. That's a punishment. That is a flat punishment.
It is.
And that's okay, right?
Like it is okay.
Well, it is for me.
It is
anyway.
Me too.
Now, we don't know yet. We'll find out on Saturday how a team full of young people who are more empowered than ever before respond to a pretty flat and obvious punishment anymore. I don't know the answer to that, but we're going to find out because right now they're being punished. Two-a-day practices. We all, you know, played to some level. We know what that means. Like, we know what that's like. We know when a coach has this messaging, what their intent is, and that's not good enough. And now we're going to learn a lesson through it. And I guess we'll find out if that's the case.
Well, and don't you think, too, I mean, we talked a little bit more about their matchup this weekend. I mean, it was concerning, clearly, that they lost to a clearly inferior team in South Florida. They're on the road this weekend. I get it. But they're, on paper, a much better team, metric-wise, than, you know, the team they're playing this weekend. And they've got to try to find a way to at least not play down to that kind of competition. That's going to be what I'm looking for.
Just go on the road and beat them bad. And I know that's unfair of me to say in college basketball to go on the road in a conference and win a game big. It is. Doesn't matter what conference you're playing in. We know college, but like that is an unfair thing. But that is what I feel like that's what the fans, that's what the players, that's what the coaches, like that's what everybody needs. For them to just go push UTSA around a little bit.
Yeah.
Dominate that game. Don't even let it be a question. Go do, not apples to apples, but go do what Kansas did to UCF on the road. Right? Go make a statement in that game.
You remember, I always think about this in situations like this, in Remember the Titans, when their assistant coach is motivating the players on the field, and he's like, leave no doubt. Like, that's kind of where the Shockers are right now, because, you know, they could probably go down against UTSA and not give 100% full effort and still probably beat them, because UTSA is not very good at all.
That's correct.
But that's not the major issue hanging over the head of the Shockers right now. There's a lot of doubt surrounding the Shockers, around the team, around the program. go down there, go on the road, and leave no doubt. Due to an extent, and I know you just mentioned it, what KU did to UCF on the road. They left no doubt in that game. Against a clearly inferior conference opponent, that's what Wichita State has to do.
I think, too, Paul, there is, you mentioned the apathy. There is a path here still this year, this far into it, to erase that to some degree. I'll tell you what I think it is. You've got a chance now. You're going to be favored in all three of the next three games you play. UTSA, then back home against Charlotte and East Carolina. Win those three games, then go to Memphis and do something special. You want to get the fan base fired up again? Go do that, right? Go win the next three and then go do something special against Memphis. Maybe you beat them. Maybe you make it a close game. Whatever it is, it's on ESPN2. Go do that. And then you're going to come back home and you play Tulsa, who's the only team worse than UTSA this year, according to the metrics. And then you get to come home and you get to play North Texas, who's good, who's very good. There is a path here to turn this around, but it must happen now. Well, they cannot stumble in the next three games before they get to Memphis.
And real quick, you want to talk about inferior opponents. I mean, remember, they had a double-digit loss to UMKC, who's like 280 in the KenPom, right?
Yeah.
And UTSA is below that, but Wichita State lost to a team right around that ranking not that long ago. But
no,
you know,
offense,
they didn't.
No offense intended to Friends. They also didn't play amazing against Friends.
For sure. And, you know, they have shown that they can leave no doubt, like what they did against K-State, winning by 19. That was a game where they left no doubt.
Well, the point is that it's easier said than done, Jacob. I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, if you had the secret ingredients for that, you know something? You wouldn't be on this radio show. You'd be making $3 million a year coaching a major college basketball team somewhere. So it's going to be harder than you think. Because I ask you guys, do you have any evidence that that's possible? Have you seen anything in this? Well, I guess K-State, you just brought it up. If you look at the K-State game, you think, well, yeah, this is possible. But you go past K-State, what was the last game you thought this was possible? The game that would show that, yes, we can go play with anybody.
St. Louis.
Yes, we. Okay, well, I mean, but the problem.
That's probably it.
Well, you get my point then. The point is that I've got to see evidence. And I've got to see evidence. I got to see evidence right now, next game, whenever you play it, the next game after that, whenever you play it, whenever you play, whenever you practice, I got to see evidence of it. Because right now, I think the majority of Wichita State fans are saying, you know, this team, you know, it doesn't have that killer instinct. I don't want to use that word. That's not, I guess, an appropriate word. But they don't have that instinct to, you know, go get the win. When you got to go get it, you go get it. And when you got it, you make sure that they understand they've been dominated. This team, I'm not sure, has that at this point, does it?
Well, you go back and look, and I just did. Western Kentucky, Northern Iowa, St. Louis, Minnesota, you know, all of those teams all fit a profile of where their current East Tennessee State does too. Like, they all fit this profile of about where AAC teams that are good are, right around 100 in the KenPom. Wichita State's beat all those teams. Wichita State needs to be a team that is near the top of the conference in the AAC. They've dug themselves a hole through the first two games, and they've lost two games that you felt like they probably should have won, certainly against South Florida. They've got themselves in an early hole in the AAC. They got a great chance to dig their way out of it because it's not a great league this year, and they should be one of the better teams in the league.
Yes, South Florida did a really good job earlier this week in Coke Arena of getting the Shockers to settle for bad shots or low percentage shots. They can't do that offensively on the road against UTSA. They've got to play fast. They've got to get up and down the court, and they've got to utilize playing down low as well and passing the ball. Wichita State didn't have hardly any assists at all. Like, it was the least amount of assists in a game that they had all season long against South Florida. So they've got to move the ball well, they've got to get up and down the court, and they've got to utilize everybody and not just settle for bad shots.
Question to you and Jacob, Tommy, and this is a question I really mean, I don't know the answer to it. Is tonight a make and break game? Is this what do you got
tomorrow?
To play or tomorrow, I mean?
Yeah.
Is that a make or
I
break?
Don't think
are we at that point yet where you've got to
no.
show
No, because
okay.
It could very quickly go off the cliff, though, like against a bad team.
I think we could already be there on the bad end. And I think on the good end, it's such a bad opponent that it's not going to be like, all right, there we go. Now they went and beat UTSA. Yeah. There we go. No, the next three games in totality might be like make or break stretch of the season. If they go and win all three of the games like they're supposed to, and they play Memphis a good game, whether it's win or lose on the road, then I think we're back on track. If not, though, no, like it's going to be where it is right now. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Sports Daily. Stick with us. It's Albrock. It's Caster. It's Savage on a Friday. Don't go away.